Well, wow. First of all, I want to thank Mr. Ron for that wonderful introduction earlier. Mr. Ron and his neighborhood. Appreciate that, Mr. Ron. And today we're going to talk about how do you like your neighbor? And I guess that is the question. How do you like your neighbor? Maybe it's even, does your neighbor even know whether or not you like him or her along the way as well? When I was younger, Sandy and I were in high school. We were in a youth group, and that youth group was called the God Squad. But one of the games we would play on a Sunday evening was a game called How Do You Like Your Neighbor? And we would sit in chairs in a circle, and one person wouldn't have a chair. One person had to stand in the middle, and he or she would go up to someone sitting in a chair and ask them, how do you like your neighbor? And they could answer any way they wanted to. They could say, well, I don't like anybody who is wearing blue. And everybody who was wearing blue, any part of blue, had to get up and scurry and find another chair. And obviously at the end of that, there was someone left without sitting in a chair, so they were the loser of that round. But you also had the opportunity, if someone came to you and said, how do you like your neighbor? You can say, I like everyone just fine. And if you liked everyone, then nobody had to move. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today and how maybe we can be a better neighbor. Jesus had some pretty strong words about this, and we're going to look at Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31. So if you want to follow on the screen or if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Mark 12. Again, we'll be reading 28 through 31. It begins with this. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Wow. You know, we live in a very fast-paced society anymore, especially before this pandemic broke out. We were in the fast lane, you know, going from one meeting to the next, going from one game to the next appointment, going from this to that, hurrying to get to the next spot. And John Ortberg had a very interesting thing to say. He was quoted as saying, hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. Wow, I needed to hear that. This pandemic has slowed us down. We've been able to think about those priorities and take some time to really reflect on some things that are important in our lives. And so I'm appreciative of that. I hope you are too. But we're going to talk a little bit more about that. So I want to start off with this story of a man who really had no interest in Christianity at all, but he became a cordial friend with a Christian who happened to be his next door neighbor. And they would talk to each other across the fence or over the top of the fence, and they would borrow a mower or a tool from each other and do some stuff like that. And then one day the non-Christian's wife found out that she had cancer. And she died 3 months later. And I want to read to you a part of the note that this non-Christian wrote after this was over. He wrote this. I was in total despair. I went through the funeral preparations and the service like I was in a trance. After the service, I went to the path along the river, and I walked all night. But I didn't walk alone. My neighbor, afraid for me, I guess, stayed with me all night. He didn't speak. He just followed me. When the sun finally came up over the river, he came over and said, let's go get some breakfast. I go to church now, my neighbor's church. A religion that can produce the kind of caring and love my neighbor showed me is something I want to know more about. I want to love and be loved like that for the rest of my life. In the second century, there was a Christian theologian who remarked how Christians' love attracted the notice of non-believers. He said this, what marks us in the eyes of our enemies is our loving kindness. He said, only look, they say, Look how they love one another. Is that how the community thinks when they think about East Columbus Christian Church? It's a question we need to consider. What can we do to make an even bigger impact on those who want to love and to be loved? Because that is what people want. That is what people long for. That is what people need. That is what people have a hunger for. Unconditional love with no strings attached. I think it was back in the 70s, and I believe it was Dionne Warwick that sang a song, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love," and how true that is. I mean, it would be pretty sad, wouldn't it, if the hokey pokey was really what it was all about? I mean, we need love in this world. Way back in 1937, there was a researcher at Harvard University who decided to do a study on the factors that contribute to human well-being and happiness. And he put a team together, and the research team selected 268 Harvard students whom they were going to study over the course of the next 72 years. They tracked those students, and they recorded things using a number of different factors. But they tracked things like their physical exercise, their cholesterol levels, their marital status, the use of alcohol, whether or not they smoked, their educational levels, their weight, and psychological factors such as how a person deals with the challenges of life. And over the 72-year period, there were several people who were in charge of the study, in charge of the research. However, the last 42 years of that research, the director was a psychiatrist named George Valiant. In 2008, someone asked Dr. Valiant what he had learned about human health and happiness in his years of all this study and his years of going over the data of these 268 people. Now, you might expect a complex answer from a Harvard professor, from a social scientist, but his secret to happiness and well-being was really quite simple. This was his response. The only thing that really matters in life are your relationships to other people. That was the difference of what made people happy and what constituted their well-being was what kind of relationships they had with other people. You know, today people are struggling with fear and uncertainty more than they ever have. The power and the genius of the great commandment is that it is so simple, yet it's extremely powerful when it's put into action. The most effective thing that we can do collectively is to love our neighbors. We need to love our neighbors and love them as we love ourselves. God is at work in the midst of this pandemic, and he's inviting us to join him in practical and tangible ways right in the middle of our own neighborhoods. This actually is the time for us to be the church as we actively live out the great commandment to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. I mean, can you imagine what our community would look like if we, as Christ followers, stepped up during this pandemic and actually were great neighbors? Let me rephrase it this way. Can you imagine what would happen in our community if Christ followers truly lived out the great commandment? The great commandment that our Lord Jesus gave us to love God and love neighbors as ourselves. It's time for us to begin to take the great commandment literally. It's time for us to begin taking the great commandment seriously. A great example, another example of Jesus sharing this, the great commandment, is also when he told the story of the Good Samaritan. It's found in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, and it reads this. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was walking down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was and saw him and took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. You see, in verse 29, the expert in the law is trying to define his neighbor as someone that he can choose to take care of. Boy, how many of us have done something similar to that and then excused ourselves from the call to know and love our literal neighbors. But not the Samaritan. The Samaritan met the needs of the man. The Samaritan met the material, the physical, the financial, and the emotional needs of the man in his path. This is what I want you to consider right now. Our neighbors are in our path on a daily basis. We go right by them each and every day. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, it reads, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You see, if we truly love God, we'll show that by loving our neighbors. And when we love our neighbors, it expresses our love for God. Jesus calls us to shine forth the light by engaging in good works. As we bless our neighbors, as we serve our neighbors, that gives them the opportunity to see Christ in us. And Jesus makes it clear that seeing those good deeds allows those people, it allows them to acknowledge and even glorify God the Father because they have seen his good works through us. I really like this next statement. It's one that probably has its material for a t-shirt, but I really like this. It says this, good neighbors doing good deeds leads to goodwill, which opens the door for the good news. How are your neighbors experiencing your good works, your good deeds? I mean, seriously, if we can only do a few things in this life well, let's make sure that one of them is one of the things that Jesus says matters the most. So we're going to give you an opportunity today and here in the next few days to practice this. This is a little bit different of a way to kind of corral and kind of end one of our messages. But I want you to take a look at this sheet of paper. It says, who is my neighbor? And I don't know if you can see it all. I think we'll probably have it on the screen in front of you. But in the middle is your house. And in these boxes around, there's little bitty shaded homes who represent your neighbors. And I want you to think about who are your neighbors that live on the right-hand side of you and your neighbors on the left-hand side of you, maybe across the street, maybe through your backyard. But I want you to take a look at it. Sit down as a family. Sit down as a husband and wife. Bring your kids involved. And I want you to do something like this. Maybe you draw it out. Draw you a little diagram of where your neighbors are. Pick up to 6 to maybe even a dozen of them. And start naming your neighbors. Write down who lives in that house, what their names are, what the names of their children are. you might just be surprised with how many of them you really don't know. I'll be really honest with you. I asked Sandy, and we kind of went through the same routine. Of course, we live more out. We don't have neighbors right on top of us, but we picked out the six areas around us, and we were only able to name the names of those families three out of the six. So shame on us as well. But we're going to give you a challenge today to do that, and we're going to give you some ideas of what you can do to become a better neighbor in this idea of neighboring. You know, all of our lives have been significantly impacted and altered in the effort to limit the spread and the impact of the novel coronavirus, this COVID-19. Being diligent to practice social distancing and following the guidelines that the public officials give out to us on a daily basis, that is vital to our safety and to the safety of others. However, as we engage in physical distancing, social distancing practices, I think it's important to note that there is a difference. There's a big difference between social distancing and social isolation. Isolation and loneliness negatively affect our well-being, negatively affect our mental and physical health. Most of us, we've experienced a dramatic change of face-to-face interaction with people, whether it be at work, whether it be at school, or whether it would be here at church. At the same time, we have people that are walking in their neighborhoods like they never have before. And as a result of all those people out and being active and walking around, it gives us a unique opportunity to start building relationships, to start building connections with people that live near us and around us. And that will make a big difference in their lives and in our lives as well. I guess the key to doing all of this is being able to do it 6 feet apart. But the truth is, in our lifetime, there's never been a better time to meet and connect with people who live right outside your front door, right next to you. I want you to listen to this quote from Karen Geisiker. She's an infectious disease physician, a doctor. She said this: right now, we don't need churches to create a bunch more programs, a bunch of new programs. What we need is for people who attend those churches to simply be good neighbors and to do it in a careful and thoughtful manner. Wow, neighboring. How do you like your neighbor? Well, we would be wrong if we didn't give you some practical examples to help get you started. After you've taken the challenge to write down your neighbor's names to see how many of them you really know, we want to give you some simple ways that you can get started in doing this. Here are some of those that could get you started. First of all, reach out to your neighbors via email or a phone call. Reach out to them. If you don't have their information, write them a brief note and stick it on their door explaining who you are, where you live. Leave your contact information and let them know how they can get in touch with you. But reach out to your neighbors. And then take it another step. When you see people outside, make it a point to talk to them. Those brief one-minute conversations are a big deal when it comes to making connections and building relationships with the people in your neighborhood. Ask your neighbors how they're doing in the midst of everything that's going on, in the midst of the crisis. You could come up with some very simple things. You know, how are you and your family dealing with everything? How are you doing in the light of all these changes that have taken place in our lives? How has this virus affected your job, your economic situation, the company that you work for? Have you noticed any good things? Have you seen any silver linings as a result of the adjustments that this crisis has forced all of us to make? Is there anything you need or anything that I can do for you? Anything that I can go get for you? And I guess if you really want to have a lot of fun with it and kind of break the ice, you could always ask them where they got their last roll of toilet paper or where they're going to go get their next steak to put on the grill. And then another thing that you could do, and I think people would really like it, is build a neighborhood directory. I mean, compile contact information of the people that live in the closest proximity to you, either right around you, maybe on your street or on the block in the neighborhood where you live. Include their names and addresses, their phone numbers, their email, even the names of children, and if you know the names of their pets, would be fun as well. And let me say this, if you need help in writing a note or an email, let us know, and we'll send you a sample to help you get started. But here's the deal. Our prayer today is for each of us, that we would all be inspired to seize the opportunity that we have in order to connect, to seize the opportunity in these challenging times to become good neighbors as we demonstrate the compassionate care of Christ and as we plant seeds to be able to share the good news. As we get ready to close in prayer, maybe you're listening or watching today and you're saying, you know, this important guy you're talking about and says that these are the greatest commandments. Who is this guy and what does he have to do with anything? If you don't know this Jesus that we're talking about and you would really like to know more about him, we encourage you to get a hold of someone. You can call our office. You can email us. Give us a call. We'd love to get with you and talk to you more about it. If you're ready to allow Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior, Lord of your life, the King of your life, one that you want to turn your life over to, total surrender to him, and you're ready to do that, we encourage you to talk to someone. Again, get a hold of us if you need to. But for the rest of us who are followers of Christ and maybe haven't done a great job of doing what we've been talking about today, you know, I refer to it, I heard a long time ago that someone referred to us not knowing our neighbors as the garage door syndrome. And it's simply meaning that in years past, before we had electric garage door openers, people would sit out on their porch, and as you'd drive up to your house or pull in your drive, you'd wave at them, maybe get out and talk to them for a while. But the electric door opener, we push the button, the door opens, we drive in, we shut the door, and we walk into our house. And we don't have those connections with our neighbors anymore. So if you're like me and you need to get to know your neighbors better and get to know more about them and find out some ways that you can care for them and show them Christ's love, then we challenge you to take heart to that, and we challenge you to do that today. If you're looking for a home church, we'd love to have you talk to us about being a member at East Columbus Christian Church as well. But we hope that you've gotten something out of this today, and we want to close in prayer. We thank you for being here with us. We thank you for tuning in, and would you please join me in our closing prayer. God, we recognize that we're all facing challenging times. Lord, we also know that you are at work in the midst of this crisis. You are a God who redeems. You take things that are meant for evil and you redeem it for your good and your glory. Father, help us to lean into what you've called us to be. Open our eyes, open our hearts to those people that are in close proximity to us. Let us see them as you see them and awaken us to the things that we have been too busy to see or too distracted to observe. May we be the hands and feet of Jesus to our neighbors, serving them, caring for them, and extending to them the love and the hope of Jesus during these uncertain times. And help us never fail to give you the glory and the praise. And we pray it all in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.